So you go to a football game this last year, or maybe it was a Super Bowl in the last couple of years, and you didn't realize that there is facial recognition software running everywhere. Check out your face. How about some biometrics on your behavior? What about voice? How they're going to identify you? The last Super Bowl, Green Bay Packers, by the way, Derek Gilbert from PNE Radio. The Packers did win, ultimately. Chicago's going to have to catch up someday. My friend that is up here now, actually, from Texas, he was there. He was trying to invite me and get me down there. As a matter of fact, I had called the security, their offices down there, and it was a big issue of going through. But he was part of the 3,000-man or more security team there and was telling me the immense security that went on at the last Super Bowl. Well, there's all kinds of technology today, and it's incredible. Chips and facial recognition and satellite and aerial. As a matter of fact, though I do not use Wikipedia, I found out of all of this stuff today that Wikipedia had a very, very good overall discussion on surveillance, breaking it down like this. Types of surveillance. Number one, computer surveillance. Number two, telephones. Number three, surveillance cameras. Number four, social network analysis. Hello, Facebook and Twitter. How about number five, biometric surveillance? How about six, aerial surveillance? And then seven, data mining and profiting. And then you've got corporate surveillance, human operatives. You have satellite imagery. You have identification and credentials. You have RFID chips. By the way, let me just kind of break in here a second. So I'm at a grocery store here just a number of months back. And the lady, very nice lady, asks me, do you have our Giant Eagle rewards card? And I said, and I really meant it. I was kidding around. And I said, no, I'm not having one of those. That way the Antichrist will track all the foods that I get. And she was annoyed. She was mad at me. So I got out of my food and no rewards card ongoing on this list. Postal services. How about that for surveillance? And then you have many others that they've got listed here. But what amazed me on this webpage on surveillance was the image of the official seal of, quote, Information Awareness Office, a U.S. agency which developed technologies for, quote, mass surveillance. Now, the official seal for this, which includes, you know, DARPA. Now, this is what it says in the ring. It's a circular seal. On the outside of the circle going around it, it says Information Awareness Office. Inside the seal is a pyramid, just like on the back of the dollar, a pyramid with a little tip of the pyramid up off of the pyramid, the eye, the eyeball, with or like a radiance glowing onto the globe, as if surveillance from an occult origin to do surveillance over the globe. Now, that's amazing to me. U.S., DARPA, the Information Awareness Office. I look at the incredible occult-oriented patch, or if you want to call it the seal, the official seal of the agency. Pretty amazing to me, and we're going to take a look at surveillance today. This is the week that we have been working on, the devil and dark technologies. The subpoint underneath that was, if there are doctrines of demons, can there also be technologies of the devil? Now, this is part five on Friday night. This is July the 1st, even though the notes that we have on the website had June 31st. This is July the 1st, Friday, 2011. We are on page 6 of the broadcast quick notes. Here's the title tonight, Dark Side to Create Super Surveillance. And that ultimate surveillance will come when the mark of the beast, the image of the beast, the Babylon spiritual grid, which I'll explain, and the ultimate final ritual that brings that super soldier, super tech military out onto the field of Armageddon. Russ Dizdar here, Shatter the Darkness, live broadcast on this Friday night. We were going to be in the middle of a move this entire weekend, but we had trucks that didn't show, and we had a number of things all around us. So we're kind of left abandoned for the weekend anyway, as we've been waiting 4 months, going into the fifth month in all of this flood issues. Absolutely. Well, we just, you know, we learn. And by the way, that's set aside the finishing of books and the finishing of the Book of Acts training. But that's all coming back, and we'll continue. Glad you're here by satellite, glad you're here by internet, glad you're listening by the download of the archives. I want to say welcome to those in Seoul, Korea. We've been praying about Korea for some time. We're not into North Korea as far as we know, but isn't it interesting? On the one particular website that we have, we're able to go to our servers, and we have a map, satellite. We can satellite down. We can see, for example, the downloads going to a base in high up Canada, originally a United States military base. But there's downloads, and they're in London next to Westminster Abbey in that new building, and they're in Germany, and in the middle of Russia, we can only go so far down. Most places, we can see the top of a house. Sometimes it looks like cars. When we were doing this in one of the aisles there in the Mediterranean Sea, it seemed as though it was from a car. And then there's an individual that has been downloading in Rosedale Cemetery there in a lot of the old Hollywood movie stars and others have been buried there down in Los Angeles area. And the interesting is that's been going on for years. I actually went there acknowledging on a broadcast, on preemption broadcast, and I actually was looking for the individual. I let them know. And I want them to know now that, again, in all those areas over 90 countries where everything's being downloaded, Poland, Estonia, and on and on and on, all the way now. And one of the newest places, newest and first-time places, Seoul, Korea. So we're glad and welcome Seoul, Korea. And to the Koreans, God loves you. God loves you. God wants you. God knows you. And may, in this broadcast and in the archives used later on worldwide, may God stretch out his hand in great power. Christians, pray with me to save souls, to bring direct miraculous healing, to bring his authority to bear and destroy demonic presence, deliverance that is, and then to show extraordinary sign and wonder as needed in your life. So I trust that even when the Luciferians, even when others have done things and astral projectors have done stuff to engage the show, stop the show, engage me during the show, well, let me tell you something. It's all right. If you come out on the field, Pharaoh did, God met him, and I want you to know that we're all about redemption and care about that issue. Saul of Tarshish found that out very clearly, did he not? I want to read you something. It is pretty serious. I think it really is. I think when you go back to reading in the book of Revelation, and I want to give you this word now. It's going to be the scripture, a word of hope for today. And it's very important to me that you hear this particular verse coming out of Revelation chapter 10. And we want to go to verse 11, waiting for the computer here to change for me because I've been somewhere else. But that last verse in chapter 10, you are reading the intent of the entire book of Jesu Christu Apocalypse, the Apocalypse of Jesu Christu. You're reading this verse. It says this simply, and he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Have you read that? When I read that last verse, let me read it again. Then I was told, and here's a quote. Here's where he is called upon. This is the writer being used. This is the content now. For every believer listening, the content of the book of Revelation as prophetic, detailed, defined, definitive, irrevocable, cutting-edge future insight. It's future history as it will happen globally, nationally, environmentally, the entire spiritual clash. It comes down to human lives. And yet this book is written in advance, I believe, for evangelism's a purpose in evangelism and warning. And this is what it says, that he is to take all of this prophecy and to unleash it to, and it's about, listen, it's to be unleashed, but it's about many peoples, that includes you. Nations, listen, to all the nations over 90 of you that download and are listening to this later on, that includes you direct. So this word in Revelation chapter 10, verse 11, the entire book, the content of Revelation, the book of Revelation, is for your nation. It's for the many peoples, the nations, languages, and kings. By the way, the last I read translations of scriptures in the world, 1,700 all around the world. And so the prophetic content in the book of Revelation, 1,700 languages around the world. And then it says the kings. You've got to understand the intent that God has is mass communication. Mass communication for the sake of evangelism. That has in the book of Revelation the context of warning of what's coming, warning of the dark side, warning of the control, the surveillance society, warning of the demonization, warning of the Antichrist, false prophet, the regime, new order that's coming, warning about the abyss, warning about Armageddon, warning about how to, you know the power of God now, and be marked by the Spirit of God now before it all comes down. So I want believers, I'm going to encourage you to memorize and think through, meditate on the Word of God. That is Revelation chapter 10, verse 11. And it is, again, prophesying about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. Well, God's God, His eye, His heart, His passion, all of heaven, all His angels, the Spirit of God. As we say in the Scripture, the anthropomorphism of Scripture, the hand of God outreached to you. One goal, saving of souls, that none should perish. None should perish. God is not willing. God does not want. Outside of Jerusalem, for those in Israel, listen. For those in Israel, please listen. For those who are Jews, please listen. Messiah, you got to understand the heart of Yahweh God, that He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather they turn. You know that in Ezekiel. But you read in the New Testament, in prophetic context, 2 Peter chapter 3, that the reason for what seems in human minds a delay in the second coming of Christ, it is not a delay. It is all about God giving the maximum time needed out of grace to save the most. Because it's declared there with the Greek word bulomai, the determined counsel of God, that He is not willing that anyone should perish. So Mr. Military Man and Woman, and Mr. Politician and Mrs. Politician, may I say to the wealthy elite, may I say to the Luciferian, may I say to the monitors of the show, may God's may God's best mercy and blessing reach you, save you in Christ. May God open eyes, crush all of the work of the dark side in keeping you from the God that loves you. Where do you stand? Now, as you're listening, and if you're new, my name is Russ Dizdar. The website for all the information, shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Now, I just got a Facebook message, and I apologize to everybody. Over 700 emails behind. Very big and behind on the Facebook right now because of all this. We're going to be settled in pretty soon. We're going to have more hours in the week to make sure we cover everything and care about you. But I want you to know that the prayers constantly go up from long before and at the very seconds over this microphone, that the heart of God, the compassion of God, the power of God reach you. Regardless of the subject matter, and today's it's vital. I mean, I already see the technologies that are here now, the things that are here, when you think in terms of, RFID chips, when you think in terms of just your debit card, when you think in terms of, you know what I got? I've got a wallet that is supposed to be RFID proof. In other words, I can walk anywhere and those machines that read, the chips that read, can read your card, your bank account, your banking card. It is supposed to be able to block all of those attempts from somebody reading and stealing and so forth. Well, I don't know if it works for sure, but I have had no one in my little thing. Of course, if they looked at the account, that's another story. Surveillance as the technology of control, that's under point A in our broadcast quick notes. Surveillance under point B, can the demons see and know where you are? Is there surveillance by the demonic presence? We're going to touch on that tonight. And then surveillance and the devil's technology, Babylon, the mark, the image, and then the ultimate ritual that I believe is a sense not just of surveillance, but ultimate control and the only reason that Armageddon can even occur is because of what happens in Revelation 16. So it's without question that spiritual presence influences minds and hearts and lives, can bring about writings, can bring about writings that influence and create massive counterfeit, alternative, deceiving spiritual systems. There is also in those demonic doctrines and in that communication and in those writings are the declarations that they're going to move into the area of science and technology and combine the two and break the veil and join what they would consider science and spirit. A big issue in quantum physics, isn't it? Let me tell you again today, the friend that wrote today Facebook, and since it's public knowledge, Chris, we wrote back, a new believer in Christ, and glad to get on the Shadow of the Darkness website and get all the help. But he wanted to know, because there's so many things on that website, where to begin. So for the new believers, I say go to the left side, under the courses. Go to Dynamic Discipleship. There's devotional writings, 4 or 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes per day, Ablaze for God, if you want just the Word of God and devotion. And then there is the course, The Holy Spirit. And then I would suggest Confronting the Powers. So on that left-hand side, to get entire courses and training materials and things we've used here for years. And so we hope that will be a benefit to all. And blessings to our new brother, Chris, in Christ. And again, welcome to all of you. Glad to be with you. Listen, looking back at the Nazis, was there a surveillance society? Did they have little eavesdropping devices where they actually walked down streets and pointed them? You ever see those things you can buy now? You can go to Radio Shack, anywhere else. I mean, it's unbelievable the kinds of things you can get today. You can have an ink pen, go in, click it, have a conversation with somebody, and record the entire thing for an hour. One of those pens, you can go for 4 hours in doing surveillance or at least recording everything in the conversation. But they've got those little things where there's like a little satellite, like a handheld satellite dish almost, it looks like that. And you point in a certain direction, and you should be able to hear, neighbors down the street. And, that's what the Nazis used. They used something similar to that, going down and trying to listen to homes where individuals were plotting with Jews and get escape and all the things. It was literally the development of a controlled society. They did have young people turning in their parents. They had individuals that became the eyes and the ears for the Nazis. And then they had their technologies. And it became a very controlled society. That's why so many were being sent to Auschwitz and the camps. So many were imprisoned. So many were slaughtered behind the scenes with just the thoughts of them being anti-Nazi, anti-Hitler, and so forth. Incredible. That's true around the world. I mean, you can think in terms of things that have happened in China, things that have happened in Russia, things that have happened around the world. Go all the way back to Rome if you want to. In Rome, I mean, specifically under the emperor worship and the powerful military, the Pax Roma, the massive, massive, mighty empire of Rome. When it came to believers in Christ, was there a all-out goal to find them, hunt them down? Read the story of Polycarp. The Roman soldiers were sent after him. I mean, you got to realize the incredible. Fox's Book of Martyrs is all about the results of a emperor worship, cult worship, I mean, Antichrist-style worship that was highly opposed to Christ and the new message. Though many Romans were getting saved and Roman soldiers were getting saved. And according to, listen, Romans 16:20, God knew what Rome was doing. God speaking to the believers in Christ in Rome was declaring that he was going to soon drop. He was going to, I mean, it was by God's hand ultimately that Rome was going to come down for the sake of the believers in the body of Christ and the rise of the church. Oh, not in the... Not in that dark day, dark development, institutional, political, not that side of it. Though that's not where we're going tonight. Let me also mention totalism. And the North Koreans know all about this when soldiers were, you know, captured off that ship. The idea of mind control, the idea of MK Ultra, the idea of the mind control. Totalism, though, involves, and this is what you find in the Unification Church cult and many other cults. Totalism means that you are taking an individual, you're obviously going to control their mind, their thinking, to the point that they're not allowed to have critical thinking. And I'm going to say that's an indicator of the demonic. They're not allowed to have critical thinking, so anytime they're questioning the cult leader, questioning the cult doctrine, they're given chance or phrases to begin to repeat so that their mind will not, you know, when they would naturally question some things that are devious and wrong. Well, totalism involves total mental control, total environmental control. Your food is controlled to, well, ultimately weaken you. Your money, obviously, is controlled. In the cult, they take all of it. Location. So your whole environment, your whole everything about your life is under total control, and there's clearly surveillance. I mean, look at the Jim Jones cult, and then everybody being taken to Jonestown. Look at the behind-the-scenes issues there, and the most likely MK Ultra issues and Jones's connection and the, you know, that side, the implication, that side of the CIA involved. Well, again, our issue tonight is the emphasis of surveillance as a technology of control. And what you see even today, I mean, really, you can't go a whole lot of places. Even the cell phone that you have, they can locate you. Years ago, I know of an engagement we had, some criminal activity was going on, private investigators were brought in, an individual came to me hiring a private investigator and having them put on a device on the car. And from a computer, wherever that car went, it could be satellited down and you can look at it and locate it within 20 feet. Within 20 feet. How about your phone? How about things that are in your house? So when you start thinking surveillance society, there's a lot of things. Massive computer surveillance. You have no idea who's actually watching, monitoring at times. Telephones, cameras. I told you the other day, I was coming to a certain town, a new town area, and I noticed as I came in, I mean, cameras on every light, every angle, telephone poles, businesses. It's as if you could not get through that town without absolutely, from the moment you entered into that little town area, everywhere you went, to the restaurants, to the gas stations, a left turn, right turn, you were under camera surveillance. And then you've got the social networking analysis that goes on. And you've got that, the big three, Google, and you've got Facebook and Twitter. Massive, massive abilities in surveillance. Biometric surveillance. You ever take a look at that? Biometrics. Now, that is kind of amazing that they can analyze human physical and or your behavioral characteristics. to authenticate and identify. Kind of a screening process. That's not just facial recognition, but after enough information about your behavior, your places. I mean, the truth is, if anybody wants to monitor you, they know where you go, what you eat, what you buy, what you do, your schedule. So much is known that you and I have no idea. And that's why it's kind of interesting on a satellite program like this. The internet literally is the world's largest radio system in the world. The potential for this live. When I know that right now there are live listeners, a dear truck driver in New Zealand, or maybe this friend down in Mexico, or a professor there in Beijing, or someone else in Finland, and again and again and again, live, let alone the satellite, in areas that, maybe the ones, I know that there on the Hawaiian Islands, there's areas there, listeners in the Caribbean, listeners on little islands. I got an invitation from one on a little island with some pictures sent saying, Russ, if you ever need to get away, if you need to get away from the system, there's a nice beach house down here next to us. And I want you to, you know what they told me? They're catching fish. They go out with a spear and get their fish every day. Unbelievable, beautiful place. I don't know. Maybe I'll take you up on that someday. The other side of the story is the social networking. Not just that, but I want to touch on aerial surveillance. It's without question. You have the ability for satellites to satellite down. And I was watching Enemy of the State some years ago. And a friend, an individual that worked for the CIA, subs and so forth, and surveillance. He was telling me in that movie that everything you see there, the ability to satellite down and read a license plate, all of that is... He says, Rush, you got to, this is his words were, Rush, you got to realize everything you see there, we're 20 years in advanced. 20 years in advanced in all of it. Data mining is an issue. Corporate surveillance is an issue. But the issue of human operatives, InfoGuard and so forth, where the FBI, they have, thousands and thousands that are involved in communities all across the United States. And there's no question that other nations have this. I mean, you've got Israel where you have the incredible... they've got to worry about what's going on. They've got it for sure on all... In terms of this, and as we go through this tonight, I want you to think in terms of... I wonder whether... Can I control off the grid completely? Interesting, huh? Let me take you to point B. Surveillance. Now, here's an issue. Can the demons tell where you are? That... Can the demon, now this may not be an interest to some who are involved in, or mainly involved in technologies, but I want you to understand that the dark side's presence is enormously concerned about awareness, surveillance, knowing that involves ultimately controlling. Let me give you a verse, and I know that some of you know this. This is out of the book of Acts chapter 19, verse 15. Do you remember when the seven sons of Sceva, they wanted to go around and do deliverance, although they didn't know Christ, they didn't have his authority, they didn't have the right. And that right means not only the given right, but the actual authority. They didn't have the Spirit of God inside of them. And here's what happens. They're going out there trying to use the name of Jesus. They're unaided. They don't have the Spirit of God. They don't have the seal of God. They don't have the authority of Christ. But they're engaging a powerful demonic spirit. And here's what the scripture says. Listen. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are you? Now here's an entity inside another human being manifesting and talking. I've been through that hundreds of times, and it's part of the life in evangelism and ministry and all of what we do. But again and again and again, I've heard those same voices. Demons don't die, by the way, also. And I want you to understand how vast the grid of demonic presence. I've said this again and again and again. The prince of the power... The Greek word eros, right above your heads, the immediate dense atmosphere, around the globe collectively is packed with that whole array of demonic presence. Of course, with the fallen cherub ruling it. Now, the demonic presence on the ground in a human being, very clear from that revelation and the rest of Scripture, and of our experience in evangel or in exorcism or deliverance, as we call it, is the demons do know. They know immediately whether you have the Spirit of God in you or you don't, whether you know the living Christ or whether you don't. So when this demon says, and again, it spoke, this entity spoke, Jesus, I know. Paul was once Saul of Tarsus, opposed to the body of Christ. He gets saved, the Spirit of God, he gets filled with the Spirit of God. You can read about it in Acts chapter 9. And then now this event occurs, and a demon inside a demon-possessed man has awareness. I mean, it's clear that they know who Jesus is. They tremble at his name. They absolutely know he is God in human flesh, holds the authority, that he's the Savior. They are terrified of him. Isn't that right? Those who have power demons. Is it Jesu Christu they hate? I think so. But I think that it's very important for all of us to understand they have deep, broad awareness. They have awareness of territory. They have awareness of area. They're able to engage and see and influence before manifestation in a life through a doorway that somebody would open up. So this entity, a demonic entity inside a human being, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. I'm going to say to every listener right now, demons know you, believers. They know you. I'm going to tell you right before God today that as I was engaged with a police officer and demonic manifestation, standing next to me is a sergeant, a soldier, locally in the National Guard. And all of a sudden, the man shakes and violently and looks up and his eyes change and a voice comes out and says, Dizdar, we know you. They do. I interviewed a man out of where they came out of Vancouver, British Columbia, that was abducted through satanic rituals. When he showed up here, we had to go through some major deliverance. Demonic presence again and again surfaced. He went through some pretty heavy duty kinds of whatever they did to him. We don't know the bottom line, but we interviewed him twice on the Ragged Edge show, and he is an individual that we care a lot about. But I want you to hear this. I told the story in the past of all of a sudden being at a church. I'm in the front as a pastor, and the worship is going on. I'm standing down there to get ready to pray with individuals. I look up, and walking all the way to the back where the aisle comes down straight to the pulpit area, there's a man standing there. And I look at him, and I get the feeling. I get the sense. I say to myself, here we go. And like a zombie, he walks all the way down while everybody's singing. They're looking at him, walking all the way down. He's making a beeline for me. He comes all the way up, 2 feet away from my face, and out of his mouth, demonic presence says, Dizdar, we are going to kill you. Interesting, huh? So we say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we as soon as we started, he fell to the ground. The demon was in disarray, and the authority of God was expressed. Ultimately, this man, Carl, has gone in Christ, has taken Bible school lessons, has taught and preached in a local church, and has done music, and is writing a book about his experience of the ritual abuse, the demonization, and all that occurred to him. Now, the reason I bring all this up is that it's very clear on a individual basis that demons clearly know who's who. I think that's very important for us to understand. The demons know literally who is who. And anybody going to Revelation chapter 18, you ever go there? You ever read there? When you read Revelation chapter 18, and the reason I'm bringing this in is because, please understand, we're dealing with the cutting edge, overwhelming insight. All the technologies, as I said earlier in Revelation 10:11, It involves the masses of peoples, billions, the nations, the languages, and you who are political and military leaders. You'll hear me say tonight that Babylon, this prediction of a Babylon system, when John sees the whore of Babylon, the prostitute of Babylon, on many waters, nations, people, this like global spiritual grid, this like umbrella of spiritual manifest presence. It says if the demonic side so flows in during the great chaos, so flows in during the apocalypse of Antichrist, so flows in during the entire last 7 years, that towards the end, here's what it says concerning... Now, Babylon has everything to do with the system of control, but it is littered, packed, influenced, manifest with incredible demonic presence. Book of Revelation 18, verse 1, after this I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. The earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She's become a home of the demons, and a haunt for every evil spirit. A haunt for every unclean and detestable bird," a figure of speech in Scripture in reference to the demons. Look what it says in verse 3. "All the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries." The spiritual counterfeit system developing in the New Age is the precursor of it. The system that is a spiritually, I mean, it is a control, it involves the surveillance, the global manifestation of demonic presence, so vast, so thick, so global, national, regional, city, locality, the very peoples. This is beyond Daniel's day and the demons there. Here's what it says about that spiritual network, that spiritual grid worldwide. Verse 3, "For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her." But it's all about the demonic presence. It's all about the presence there. So I want you to be very clear when it comes to, and let me mention this. Chosen ones, those satanic, richly abused, those who have been created to serve Satan, those who have been created, forged, transmuted to be foot soldiers. There's a number of you listening right now. A number of you interacting. Some that have never spoken. You're only listening. God knows that. He knows where, who, what you're all about. May the hand of God engage. For your redemption, of course. But when you think in terms of United States, Canada, Australia, all of European, all the way into Russia, when you think in terms of 40 million first generation, and then the second generation around their 40s, and the third around their 20s, and the earlier ones now, the fourth generation, when you think at 100 million sub-personalities created in them by demonic, and I think that's a demonic technology. Think in terms of... Colin Ross, again, a secular psychiatrist from Canada, he writes a book, Project Bluebird, and the subtitle is The Purposeful Creation of Multiple Personality Disorder, or personalities, the sub-personalities. Now, I want you to hear me. If there are literally, in my statistical analysis, 100 million, four generations, and I would say to the counselors, I would say to those working with individuals, you got to realize how broad this is. It's as broad as all the nations that are conceived concerning the coming beast system. All the nations that would be involved in that beast system, well, they have these chosen ones, these transmuted ones. And part of the technology of splitting personality is not just for placing programming, creating multiple abilities with powerful demonization, but the splitting of the human core and creating sub-personalities, in my experience in about 30 years of this, demonstrates that a lot of this deals with breaking down unilateral free will and bringing absolute control to the individual, controlling all the parts, personalities, triggers, program, mind control, and the demons inside, upon, and outside. Even outside, they know. The dark side knows where demons are dwelling in individuals. The dark side knows where the Spirit of God is dwelling in individuals. The dark side's development of a global collective counterfeit to the body of Christ. Demons know believers by name. Demons know believers by name. Let me give some insight to pastors, leaders, churches. Let me say this to military leadership, governments, and so forth. In our research, in our engagement, chosen ones created for the troops of Antichrist, created to create chaos, created to be the enforcers, created to be under utter absolute control, demonized obviously, have been placed. Most churches have sleepers. Most military places have sleepers. Let me tell you one thing that we've found in many of those that we've gotten deep into. Subpersonalities, demonized, that have clear knowledge, I mean, where they've been planted. Say a local church. Say the pastor's name is Pastor Joe. That personality and others inside have taken all the information, given it to the coven, given it to the handlers, given it to whoever in the regime, the pyramid. And they have been given the assignment that when the activation is given and hundreds of thousands of these individuals, along with everything else that's going to go on, are unleashed, their targets are already, they already have their targets. They already know their assignment. They already know who they're supposed to kill and take out and eliminate. Let me say to every other radio broadcaster that deals with opposition to the New World Order, let me say to every pastor and leader that's worth their salt, biblically speaking, look around you. It's not just that, in the air, on the ground, demons and so forth in the area, they know whether you're a church that believes and exercises the authority of Christ and spiritual warfare and praise. They know your spiritual temperature, as does God. By the way, how is that spiritual temperature today? Praising God, fierce prayer, compassionate, compelled soul winner, love the Word of God, hate the dark side. It says it in Romans to, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. But let me guarantee right now, I absolutely, whether you're in Germany, Russia, I mean all over, in government, and I'm going to tell you this, military bases everywhere, because of the coming takeover. Takeover politically, takeover on the grid of food chain, electrical grid, communication grid. When it comes to military, when all hell breaks loose, you can imagine that there's going to be SWAT teams out, there's going to be martial law, there's going to be a lot of things. But what nobody has put into the play normally is this, that in all those systems, there are highly trained, programmed, assassin-oriented subparts. To me, that is a dark technology. Dark technology doesn't have to be Starfire, a laser beam there out of New Mexico, Kirtland Air Force Base, that's able to shoot out of the sky a satellite. You understand the space wars that are going on right now? China sending up a missile, and blasting apart one of their own satellites to demonstrate they can take them out. If they took out so many of the satellites around the globe right now, they could completely shut down nations. Next frontier. But in the development of space weapons, including that Starfire that Starfire weapon at Kirtland Air Force Base. Let me read to you this quickly. The Air Force Research Laboratory's Directed Energy Directorate develops high-energy lasers, high-powered microwaves, and other directed energy technologies for the United States Air Force and the Department of Defense. The Directorate is also involved with advanced optics and imaging technologies to improve the nation's ability to precisely project these directed energies at the speed of light anywhere, at any time, and with graduated intensity. So when I think in terms of the weapons of Armageddon, and whether it's chemical lasers, these kind of directed energy weapons, whatever they might be, this is all about, you know, aiming them into space because of a descent. Once again, maybe wrap your head around, think through, look at the Word of God, Revelation 19:19. The devil's got to have technology for surveillance, for control, for the development of a military system that can be. It's obviously combined in this sense alone. Let me mention a few things here. Revelation 13. In discussion, let me tell you who's going to be one of those. I mean, the one behind the surveillance and the control, the false prophet. The false prophet that it is said in Revelation 13, he ascends from the earth. It's as if he's hidden deep in the ground many, many years before he ever comes to the surface. But when he surfaces as the Antichrist has the apocalypse, as the hidden secret regime, political, military, economic regime, I would say is in place but cannot come forward until God sovereignly removes the restrainer. I think they know what the restrainer is. I think that there are counselors and others that can ask the troops of Antichrist, the highly programmed and trained, what do you know about the restrainer? Until he's taken out of the way, the great chaos, the great rebellion, the great revolt, whatever you want to call it, the Red Horse issue, cannot occur. Nor can the apocalypse of the Antichrist. No matter how hard they try, God has his finger on it for the sake of salvation. But I want you to hear about this. I already mentioned Revelation 18. This is part of the notes at the bottom. Point C, surveillance and the devil's technology. I think Babylon, as it is a spiritual system globally, with the most manifested demonic presence like a grid map. And the demons know by name. And the demons know by region. And the demons know. They know. So I'm going to say that there is massive, dark, spiritual surveillance. Anybody in satanic ritual abuse knows this. Anybody who's been demonized knows that in trying to get away, the demons, not just the inside, but the outside ones assigned, track you down. Astral projection, used by thousands upon thousands, literally in the satanic ritual abuse worldwide development of chosen ones. Every one of them have the ability to astral project, to go out, to remote view per se, by non-human enhancement, demonic power, to go look for people. It is said that these troops, when the great chaos is unleashed, that they will use those abilities to track down the ones they want to eliminate before the dust clears and a new, quote, peaceful society begins to be constructed. Are you getting this? The mark of the beast. The mark of the beast. You do know what it's called, right? I mean, karagma. The karagma. That's what it is. A karagma. It is a symbol. It is a engraven thing. When we talk about the mark of the beast, let's go historical, grammatical, biblically speaking. You take a look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 16. It is the false prophet where it says this. He causes very powerful. He is going to force, in a sense, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive, to take in passively. You got to take it. You must. I mean, unless you want to die, unless you're in one sense off their grid. Karagma. And this karagma it could be a symbol. It's actually a sense of a branding so that you can be identified. That's what it's all about. Even if you call it a chip, you put a chip under the ground, underneath the skin, well, you can't see anything. This involves seeing it, right hand, forehead, one of the two. It is observable. But in occult lore, and anyone from the left-hand path knows this, that when it comes down to a karagma, when it comes down to a mark like this, that involves the possibility, at least, of demonic attachment to the symbol, demonic attachment to the stamp, demonic attachment to the actual engraving or in a sculpture. You know, the old days of a demon god, sculpted, and the demon presence could be on that. A devoted object of the Old Testament, demonized objects being used now in spiritual warfare by the other side, bringing it into the church. Demons on objects given as gifts. That eventually, all of a sudden, you got some kind of curse, you got some kind of warfare, you got stuff going on. Look for the object that's been given to you. Think in terms of the future, and I think there's a lot of chosen ones that understand this karagma. It's a brand. Kind of like a cow that would be branded, and everybody that would see it, even if it got off the ramp, even if it got off the range or wherever, off of one area and went to another, the identifying mark, the owner. There's ownership, there's identification, there's mark. I'm going to say that, in my opinion, it involves demonic connection. I'm going to say that it's very clear that this karagma is also, you understand that it is the name of the Theron. The purpose of this mark, this branding, so that no one could buy or sell. You're eliminated from the new society without it. Unless you have the karagma. And it is what? The name of the Theron. It is the actual name of the Theron and the number and or number of his name. Everybody's tried to figure out the number of his name. I guarantee you, in the apocalypse of the Antichrist, the Theron's name shall be known. And it's directly created to that identifying mark. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there at all. There's something more than just the mark. There is the image of the beast. Have you read the next part of this? It's not just the mark, it is also the image of the beast. Now, this is where we're going to get into and understand again this. Here's the principle. This icon of the Theron. Icon is used in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, when it says that the god of this age, Satan, blinds the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, referring to Christ, who is the icon of God. He is the exact imprint. He is the exact representation. He is visible God in human flesh of invisible God of the universe. So that word is used of Christ in his identification as God visibly in human flesh. But guess what happens when it comes to the image? Guess what happens when it says, now this is what it says again, Revelation 13, in the ascendancy of the false prophet, I'll just read it to you if you can, verse 14, he deceives them that dwell on the earth by means of miracles. He will unleash on a supernatural level the most unbelievable layering of deception. And he has the power to do this in the sight of the first beast. and telling them that dwell on the earth, they should make an image, an icon of the Theuron, of the Antichrist. And here's what's going to happen with it. And that's why I'm saying it involves surveillance. The technologies of the mark on your hand or forehead, the technology of the image, the icon, here's what it says, verse 15, referring to the false prophet, he had power to give life. See where it says he has power to give life? Pneuma, spirit. Whatever the image is, if it is a sculpture, some kind of actual built thing, or technological thing, if it is all of what we talk about in AI, artificial intelligence issues, beyond holograms and all that kind of stuff, but spirit is placed in it. He gives life, spirit, to the image of the beast, so that the image of the icon of the beast can speak, and that it. So let me ask those in intelligence, in those developing stuff in transhumanism, when it comes down the road, will this image be an ultimate development in that field, that all is needed? You know how they talk about putting your soul in the internet, putting your spirit in a cloned physical body, or putting your presence like Ray Kurzweil, putting your consciousness in a robot? The false prophet has the power, he has the right, he has the authority to give pneuma, spirit, to the image of the beast, so that it can speak, so that it can kill. In the future, New Agers, 2012ers, alienologists, you have no idea of this age of Aquarius, this order to come, is going to be such massive surveillance on all those levels, obviously. But a central control. And it is inseparable from demonic empowerment, demonic presence, demonic acquisition, demonic presence in the image of the beast, maybe on the mark. Control, surveillance. Satan demands, every Satanist knows, blood allegiance. Get out while you can now. Christ comes to save you, deliver you. The demons know that. May he save you now. come to the living Christ. Rust Izdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. We're at the end of the hour. Remember us in your prayers. Remember us in support. Good night.